Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A group of psychologists performed an experiment on the power of peer pressure. They had a group of 10 teens in a room and a chart on the wall that had three lines of different lengths on them. They were asked, the teens were, to raise their hand when the instructor pointed to the longest line. In each group, one person didn't know the other nine had been coached to raise their hands when the instructor pointed to the second longest line. The one single teen usually looked confused at first as the others raised their hand, but then went along and cast a wrong vote because they did not want to stand out. More than 75% allowed peer pressure to override their own better judgment. It's hard to be stuck in between what you know to be true and the wrong opinion of others that want to draw us away from the truth, isn't it? God, in the Old Testament lesson today, says that the Israelites are to live in the in-between. They're not to be like the people in Egypt that they'd left behind, and they're not to be like the people in Canaan where they were crossing into. They're told by God not to act like the people in their past, and they're not to do as the people in their present future do. So the Israelites, like that one lone teenager in each class, are a people who will stand out. Beyond the Jordan, they're going to be different from the rest of the world, and so they are marked. God tells them to live in between, not like those either in their past or those in their present. In verse 4, God says to them, "You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God." So the Israelites are to do what God has said they are to do, and not to do things like those they've left behind or like those where they're going to. Sounds simple enough, right? Well, yeah. It is a simple idea, but it's not easy to do. How the Israelite people act, what it is they do, is what God is telling them is important. They are to do according to God's word. They are to act according to His word. Now, that sounds like what we as Christians are to do. What we do is supposed to be in accord with God's word. Why? Well, because like He did with the Israelites, bringing them out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt, so He has done already with us in the cross of Christ. God has taken us out of our bondage in sin, like He took the Israelites out of Egypt, and now He has made us His own. Like St. Paul tells us in the epistle lesson, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We are the people that God has, by the blood of Jesus Christ alone, brought out from slavery into sin. That's what happens when we're baptized in the name of the triune God and when we enter into a life of faith. We are marked. We are marked with the sign of the cross that's freed us. That cross has freed us from our sin. And we've been given new spiritual life in Christ through baptism by faith. We've been freed from the tyranny of sin by being forgiven, and that's what St. Paul told us. And that's like what God did for the Israelites when he set them free from their bondage in Egypt. And we, like those now freed Israelites, we also live in the in-between. Remember, they weren't to live like those in their past, and they weren't to live like those around them do. They were to live in the in-between, in between their lives of slavery to the past and to the temptations of the present. That is you and I also. We are different. We are different than those around us because of what God has done for us. By the death of Jesus. By the death of Jesus on the cross and by his triumphant resurrection from the dead, we have been. It is accomplished. It's done. We have been set free. Again, in the epistle lesson, it says, live a life worthy. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. So, we do things and we live life differently because God has made us different by freeing us from sin. And then in the gospel lesson. In the gospel lesson, Jesus tells us about what the doing of life is like for us. Now, this illustrative story that Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan, it's a favorite one. We have an underdog who turns out to be the hero. He comes along and he upstages the bad guys, the guys who in fact are supposed to be the good guys. And in so doing, the underdog saves the day for the ordinary guy who's been beat up. Samaritans were not trusted by Jewish society just because of who they were. That's what makes this Samaritan the hero slash underdog. At any rate, he gives aid and comfort and care to our injured ordinary guy. The Samaritan takes care of him as a hero should, by the effort of his own hands and with the money from his own pocket. Then, after telling this story, Jesus turns to the expert in the law and asks him a question in verse 36. Read just that top part with me. Read that. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And then read the experts in the law, read his answer then also. The one who had mercy on him. The one who had mercy. That's the neighbor. That is the neighbor. Notice that the neighbor in this story is defined by his actions, by what he does. The neighbor is not the one in need. The neighbor is the hero. He's the one who does the acts of mercy. The neighbor does what is needed for the other person. Now, I'm not saying that the priest and the Levite in the story, the bad guys, didn't have good hearts or that they didn't have sympathy for the man. But they simply did not do. They did not do what was needed. They proved by their lack of action to not be the neighbor to the ordinary man who was in trouble. Jesus makes the point that the neighbor is not the man who was beat up, but it's the man who did what the fellow in trouble needed done for him. And then, to really drive home the point, after the expert in the law says that the neighbor was the man who had mercy, Jesus said what? Go and do likewise. Go and do. Say it with me. Go and do. After all, that's what this expert in the law had asked Jesus about in the first place. To love your neighbor is to show mercy to those that are in need. And that is exactly what Jesus has done for you and I. He came. He came to us. And he's done what we needed. He is our neighbor. He is our hero. He has shown us mercy. We've been beaten up and robbed by sin. And Jesus, in his mercy, takes us in and he cares for us. God, in Jesus, as the epistle lesson says, he has rescued us. Jesus is that outsider who comes and has pity on us and acts on the need that we have. He does, from his heart of love, what needed to be done for all sinners of all time, everywhere. He took action on behalf of those who needed it. We are that guy. That guy that's left for dead on the side of the road. In fact, if you think about it, we've beat ourselves up by our own sinful ways. We aren't just victims. We are also the perpetrators of our own problem. We're the ones who chose to sin, and in so doing, we beat ourselves up. But Jesus comes along. Jesus has bound up our self-inflicted wounds by his wounds that he suffered. And he's paid for our healing from his own treasury. He provided us a place of rest and healing in himself. He did that when he carried our sins to the cross. And on that cross, he's taken away totally the guilt of our sin. He did that. And because he did that, we are now different. And we act differently. Jesus, by the way, take note. Jesus did not say to the lawyer, "Go and feel like that Samaritan." What Jesus told the lawyer is what he tells us. Go and do likewise. Say it with me. Go and do likewise. Mercy is not something that you feel. It's something that is done. That's what Jesus is driving at today. The Samaritan acted. The Samaritan did mercy. It was the priest and the Levite, the so-called good guys of the day, that went out of their way to avoid helping. They literally crossed the street so as to not have to do mercy. And what does mercy look like? Again, look in the Old Testament lesson. In the Old Testament lesson, mercy is shown there by how you harvest your crops. It's shown by acting differently than those around us who seek only their own comforts and their own conveniences. Listen again to what God said. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. God makes it very plain with these words that the practices of selfishness, greed, and idolatry are not to be the practices, are not to be the doings of God's people. He's saying, don't do what you see around you. Don't fall into the ways that seem easy just to get along in this world. That's what that experiment about peer pressure, drawing us away from what we know to be true, shows us. The way of the world is not, the way of the world is not the way of mercy. It is the way of self and selfishness. It's the way of greed. It is difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to go against the pressure of this world and instead do what God asks us to do, as He did with the Israelites. To be different and to live in the in-between is to be marked by this world for death. But that's what Jesus tells us and tells the expert in the law today. To be different by showing mercy. We're to be a good neighbor and do what those who are hurting and beat up by life need, rather than pass by through either indifference or neglect of those who need our help. Let us act with one heart on the call to be different and live in between. We, as God's people, we act differently. Christ tells us when He speaks to the law expert today to go and do likewise. Find someone in your life who the rest of the crowd ignores. Someone who's being neglected and beaten up by life and maybe even just shoved aside. Be aware of those in your world who are avoided by others, maybe for a good reason even, and maybe not. But that's the person that needs a neighbor. That's the person who needs mercy shown to them. That's the one who needs a hero to tell them what Christ, the world's true hero and neighbor, has done for all of us. And subsequently, what He's called us and the redeemed, and what He has called us and redeemed us to do. Remember St. Paul's words, bearing fruit in every good work. We are to do. We are to do for others what needs to be done for them, as that Samaritan did. We are to, what did we say earlier? We are to go and do. Say it again. Go and do likewise. Go and do mercy. And that's just one way to do mercy. Here's another one. Invite them to church to hear the same good news that you hear. You are that neighbor. You are the neighbor who has received mercy from Jesus. And so you can pass that mercy on to those who are wounded or hurting and those who are overlooked. Invite them. Invite them to live with you in the in-between so they can also know that God has done mercy for them as He's done for you. By the blood of Jesus shed from the cross. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock.